The Chan Cheng Yan, Real 7. Mr. Chan, there were no Japanese personnel. You mentioned you didn't see any. So who were guarding all of you?
No one guard. It's an open. Openly, you see, it's open. Anyone, even the public makes up open. People come and sell things and all like that. It's open, you see. Until the third day, then they dispersed the whole lot. The remaining was there. Then the Japanese took the names and everything. Then we were asked to go to the building. At that time, there's chances of running. Very good to run. They haven't taken your name even.
So in the beginning, you all stay in the sleep in the open field
Open field.
also. What was the general mood then at Raffles College and at Race Course?
It's just usual, something like the people is not aware, do not know what is going to happen, what will be the next step the Japanese are going to do like that. Because you are in uniform, you are an army people, you can't go anywhere, is it? Even if you walk in town, they will arrest you. But the towns are all guarded. Only that section of that place is not guarded. But still, you can't go. There are Japanese every corner, you see. Sentries every corner. And those people staying around there only mingle up with us, you see.
So what did you do every day when you were out in the open field?
Nothing. Nothing. Just hot sun, then we talk among ourselves like that only. We were so in despair. Do not know what is going to happen to us. But I knew in myself, in my own heart, we have no way of escaping. We are sure to die. Definitely, we will be killed, you see.
How did the Japanese transfer you from Raffles College Field to Race Course Road?
Walk, we all walk. They never give any transport, we just walk down, you see.
Do you remember what you saw on the way to Race
Yeah,
Course Road?
from there down to Bukit Timah Road. Bukit Timah Road, just well, I don't know where is the road in the time Singapore I was. I do not know the names, the road. Just walk, 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 walk till we reach the destination. That's all. And I know it's Race Course Road. Even that, I do not know Race Course Road. Behind, I saw a big building. That is where the Kandang Kerbau Hospital is. Because I saw a lot of nurses, so I suspect it must be a hospital. Because they all got barbed wire, they all got fencing. They can cross over to our place.
On your walk to Race Course Road, do you see any damages or?
Yes, a lot. We saw a lot of bodies lying on the roadside. Bukit Timah, there are a lot of people died along the side of the road, the canals and all.
Other Japanese soldiers?
No, I don't see any Japanese soldiers died there. I saw a lot of these Indian soldiers died there. A lot of Indian soldiers died there. And some civilians, maybe. Because they are in civilian dress, maybe some civilian were being hit by the bullets.
So after 3 days at Race Course Road, the British Army were
Yeah.
sent elsewhere, and the Indian soldiers also. So how many of you were left in Race Course Road?
That time, I think it's only 90 of us lah. Those are the 90s that were killed lah, including myself lah. These are the people that the remaining, these are the whole lot they killed lah.
So you stay in quarters instead now, instead of open field.
Yeah, I stay in the building there, instead in the open field, you see.
So what was the daily routine like then?
Nothing, we just sit down only. And the Japanese were only guarding the gates. And once in a while, the officer come, like that. And they talk to our officer, that's all. And then we ask for food. And then they give you rice, like that. Nothing, just rice, like that.
Generally, how did they treat all of you?
Oh, they treat very bad. Because, not bad, not actually bad, it's the difficulty of the language, you see. Because we cannot understand Japanese, and we talk back in English, they can't. They talk a different kind of way of English, so we can't understand them. Because we don't face them directly. It's only the officers that talk to them. Should we take orders from the officers?
So, on the 28th, you all walk from Race Course to Tanjung Katong.
Tanjung Katong.
What did you see on the way there? The conditions?
Oh, it's... No, nothing. There's just like nobody on the road, no one ever dare to walk. And people are peeping from the windows and all like that. The balcony or the window or the front footpath or something like that. Not much. People were all just wondering why this troop, this a lot of these people were moving. They know we were in uniform, naturally they know this must be the soldiers. Or maybe Singapore, they know it's a volunteer. And they do not know whether it comes from Singapore volunteer or from other, but it's not Singapore volunteer. Singapore volunteer, I presume they have all escaped, you see. They must have escaped because their officers are always in contact with the general principal or whatever the higher command, that is Captain Pengge, you know. Yap Pengge is the bigger man here, but he just recently died or not, I don't know. He's a banker now. Yap Pengge is a banker. And he's the one. Why he was not captured? The Japanese know that he is a volunteer head for Singapore. But the Japanese did not kill him because he's smart. He's a very smart man. He never say that he is a volunteer of Singapore. He says that he is... That was really when I found out from the paper and all. He says that we are the British Armed Forces. That's why he was not killed.
The field at Tanjung Katong, was it enclosed or was it an open
No,
field?
It's an open field also.
So you stayed there the whole day?
Whole day up to towards the evening, up to 7 o'clock, they took us down to Bedok and more or less 20 minutes finished already.
What were you doing the whole day while waiting at Tanjung Katong?
Nothing to do. There? Just everyone was scared. And don't know what will happen, but mostly we all knew that we are going to die already. They are going to shoot us. Then some of the colleagues say, what to do is our fate now. You don't have to regret. Face whatever comes.
Were you told anything at all? Did the Japanese tell you anything?
No, they did not say anything. They just... At the end, they asked us to go to in front, and then one side of the lane, they just take the whole of our belongings, then they tie our hands at the back and put us in the truck, that's all, and bring us there.
So, when you're put in the trench, were you all untied or were you still tied together?
No, not together. We were put like that. Each one of us were tied up like that, and then we... go down. And so when we reach the place, just they untie us and push us into the trench, like that.
So when you're in the trench, you were being untied already?
Yeah, we were untied and pushed down to the trench.
You mentioned that your knee was hurt, so how did you escape from the trench?
See, that time when I pinched myself dead, then later when I found, I heard the footsteps going further and further and further. Then I wait for a while, a few sec, about 15 to 20 minutes. Still, I didn't hear any sound anymore. So I knew that Japanese is not there anymore. So I tried to come out from the hole. I pushed my head against the plank, but I could not go out because my leg has been crossed over by the dead. So I pulled my leg one by one out slowly. Then I saw blood. When I pushed my left leg, I feel the pain. So I knew I've been hit in the leg, the knee there. So I pulled my leg. Pull my right leg is okay, but I pull my left leg slowly. Then I push my head with the plank, push the plank away, I come out. Then before I go out, I wish all of them that it's bad luck that you all are dead, but I'm the only one that alive. So I roam about the whole of that Bedok till the next morning.
Where did you go?
Just roam around there trying to get my way out. I do not know where to go. So I was so tired. Then the blood came out from my knee. Then I tried to get a place to wash myself first. So I found a big drain there. Then the water been flowing down there. Then I just go inside that, wash myself up. And I remember towards the morning, it's around 5 o'clock in the morning, that I destroyed my uniform. This is very dangerous with that uniform. So I wash, take out my uniform. I got a singlet. So I take out my singlet, I wash, I dry it up, use it again with my short pants, knickers or something like that. Then throw away my trousers, my boots, everything I throw away. And then I wait till it's bright. Then I start moving with the singlet and this. Early morning when I move, I saw a small hut, quite a big hut also. I approached the hut. When I approached the hut, that I see that I meet all the Chinese. I do not trust the Malays. That time the Malays are also on the side of the Japanese. So when I meet the Chinese, I tell him now what has happened to me. I need something to eat, I said. My man was so kind, he says, I can't take you here, he said, because we have been registered here. Everyone in the house has got the name to be registered with the Japanese. So they know how many house got, how many people staying. So you have to try and get some other place. So the man was so kind, he saw me with a singlet, with a short pen. So he gave me one second-hand trousers with a coat just to cover myself. And plus, he gave me about $2, I think. He gave me $2. Then he told me, you go to the other side. He said he gave me a lead. You go down to the other side. People are registering there. You go there and register yourself. Try to get a pass. With that pass, maybe you can pass along. If not, you will not be able to pass. So I take that chances. So that time was a Chinese school there, you know, in somewhere they call it Chai Chi. Now it's Chai Chi Village. Chai Chi has got a big building already. Small school, they call it something like Pi Hua School or what, Chinese school. So I saw a lot of people there, so I went there and tried to register. You don't have to pay a cent, but just go and register. Bow in front of the Japanese, they question you this and that, and then that is where they call it the concentration. This is what they call a civilian concentration. See, concentration there. You pass the concentration, they give you a pass. And you pin yourself and you go through. They ask all sorts of questions. I say, they ask me, what are you doing? And I bluff them. I say, I'm a hawker, you see. I'm doing selling things to earn my living. I got no work, I do this thing. I don't say I come from Malaysia, you see. That time got no identification card. Why you worry? Not now you have IC card. So I said, they asked me, what are you doing? I said, I'm selling ice cream, he said like that. They don't ask much question because maybe the man who picked the person doesn't say anything, then I move off. Then I go to the other side, just get the thing. And the chop, I put on the thing, I move off.
What did the pass say?
I don't know, it's in Chinese, is it? That means this man has been checked already. Something like that. I think it was like that. This person has been checked by the military already, so you can pass.
So this place was Chai Chi?
Chai Chi. Oh. Now I heard it's Chai Chi. Last time I didn't know it was Chai Chi. Roam here, roam there, until from one village, from one section to another section, I don't know how to come down to town, you see.
On the way, while you're trying to find your way out, did you meet any Japanese soldiers?
Yeah. When I meet Japanese soldiers, just bow and just go, because I got that pass, I'm not afraid anymore.
Before you get the pass?
I try to hide myself. I try to sneak away and not going in front of him, you see. So at last, I pass from Chai Chi, I come down to Changi. Now only I know it's Changi. I come down like that. Then I come down to Amber Road, Frankel Estate. Frankel Estate at that time was not built up yet. It's only an attic squatter, something like squatters. So I went there and I was a bit lucky also. After the second day, then I saw an old man and an old woman. The old man is also very good, quite good, also educated, can speak English. So I told him what happened. So he took pity on me. He allowed me to stay at his house. And it happened that there is one nurse used to go out. They are quite close neighbors, you see. And that lady is a nurse. So when that nurse came to the old man's place, the old man told him, because I was complaining of this pain. So that nurse said, ask me question. I said, you see, I'm a volunteer from Malacca. You see, I've been captured. We were asked to surrender, and then they captured us. And after so many days, we were being shot by them. Not one, all of them died, and I was the only one who escaped. So I'm trying to go and see my brother in Katong. See? I got my elder brother staying somewhere in Katong. How to go to Katong, I cannot pass through, is it? So I wait. Then the nurse inspect my leg, and then he found that there's something inside the knee here. He said, you wait. She go back to her place, came back again, don't know what she brought. Then she said, you stand, try and see whether you even pain a little bit, but you must try, you see. So I don't know how she do. She take out the bullet, and the bullet came out, it's all right. Then she put plaster, she put medicines. After few days, it's okay lah. And then until now, I don't know who is that people, you see. I've already gone back. So on the third day, after the third day, I determined to go to Katong, but still I cannot go to Katong. The other side of Frankel Estate, near the St. Patrick's School, East Coast side, I saw soldiers along those canals there. Couldn't pass. Try to the other side, Changi side, Frankel to Changi side, still cannot, because there's a road called Kembangan, is it? That time I didn't know it's a Kembangan. Got a big building, a store building. There, the Japanese are guarding. Still cannot pass through there. No way, see? So somebody told me, you go by the other way. So I follow the Malays, you see? The Malays pass through, I see how they pass. So I follow the Malay. They go the other way around. That's where they call Lengkong 1, Lengkong 2 or something like that. Over that side, now they call it like that. I follow that way. And I pass through. That is behind the Japanese. Cut from the inner side. From the inner side, I cut over. I come down to Changi near Jalan near Gelang Serai there. That side can go to Katong, you see. That side, some parts no Japanese. So when I see people cross, I just follow, and then straight I come to Katong. At last, I reach Katong.
How long did you stay with the old couple?
No, old couple, I stay around 3 days. On the third day, I went to see my brother.
So on your way to Katong, how did you get your food and your meals?
No, the old man gave me. When I was staying with the old man gave me something to eat.
But on your journey to Katong, how did you get your meals?
I didn't eat, you see. I practically forgotten about eating, you see. I was so scared. I don't know what to do. I just want to leave only and try to escape. And if possible, to go back to my country, you see, to my state. That is the only way I try to get out. And when I go through that, I saw my brother. I went to see my brother with my long hair and all. Then my brother gave me some money. Immediately I went to crop. I cropped myself. Then that very day, I went back to Malacca. I walked all the way because they have opened the road. Everybody can walk now. I walked from Amber Road, I walked right to Tanjung Pagar. I got another brother staying at Tanjung Pagar, I see. He has a flat staying in a room there with a friend. So when I went there, he was so surprised to see me. He thought I was dead. He tried to get information where I am. He couldn't find me. At last, he saw me. Then, immediately that night, he said, "You must go back. You cannot stay here. Go back, quick." So he asked me to change, throw away all that old clothing, put on his clothing. And then he gave me one bag, a rattan bag, with some clothing, pretending to be a traveler. Then he gave me $10. You know, that time money is so big. Go down to the railway station. Take a train to go back. So when I wanted to go back, I do not know how to go back to Malacca, because I saw, they say, Johor, Gemas, Tampin, Seremban, Kuala Lumpur, like that. And say, Malacca at that time has got a railway. You should go to Malacca. Why like that? I so stupid, so scared, I don't know what to do. I took a train to Tampin, to Gemas. So I paid $3 from Singapore to Gemas. When I reach Gemas, I have to drop. I have to come out from the train. When I come out from the train, the detective arrested me, you see. He saw me going about, he arrested. So hand it over to the police. So send me to the police station. And the people there are very good. The policemen are all very good. He asked me, "Where you want to go?" I said, "I want to go back to Malacca." "Why? You come from where?" I said, "Singapore." "Why you go to Singapore?" I said, "I'm working in Singapore now after the war. So I want to see my family." "Okay." You know, I gave him some of my food, canned foods and all. Then he said, "Okay, quick, you go and buy the Malacca. You go and buy the Tampin ticket," he said. "From Gemas to Tampin, you pay another $2. So I buy that ticket, drop at Tampin. That's going on like that.
From Amber Road to Tanjung Pagar, do you see anything on the way?
Yeah, at that time people were all moving about. It's open already. The road is open. Everybody can go in, go out. Because they were announcing in the newspaper, the Japanese also can't afford to give so many food to eat people. A lot of people in Singapore. So they publish it in the paper. All refugees are asked to return to their respective states. So you find your own means how to go. There'll be a train moving, they said.
How was the condition like in the train?
Oh, it's like a sudden, is it? Everybody try to go, and we don't get a train, you know. We get those goods train, you know. Locked like, hot like what, you see, inside the train. And it goes very slow, you know, the train. It takes about 2 days to reach Malacca. You go like that, slowly, slowly, slowly.
Did you encounter any trouble on the way?
No, there's no encounter. No, Malaysia is peaceful already. It's already captured by them. It's already ruled by them. Nobody dare to do anything because they cut your head. How do everybody is scared. So when I reached Tampin that night, that evening, you see, I reached Tampin. I thought there's a buses that can go down from Tampin to Malacca, but I couldn't find any buses. Then I asked the people down in Tampin there, how do I go back to Malacca? Oh, you see how people go, blockades. Then I saw those people with a bicycle approaching you. Encik, where you want to go? Malacca, he said, oh yeah. $5, I sit at the back, I cycle you down to Malacca. So I was so scared. At last, no alternative. One old man, a middle-aged man approached me. I bargained. He said, how much? $3 lah. No money. I said, $3, okay lah. Okay lah, he agreed $3. So he took me. And then he said, we don't pass the road, we pass the estate. I don't want to meet the Japanese, he said. So he knows the shortcut to Malacca, you see, past all the estates. So I find him very breathless, very tired, can't even carry me. So I tell him, come on, I cycle, you sit at the back. You tell me the way. So instead, he cycled me down to Malacca, I cycle him back to Malacca, and then he lead me the way, and it takes about 2.5 hours to reach Malacca, because I had a pain here, cycle slowly. And by the time I reached my hometown, it's almost 7:30 in the night. Nobody knows. So I came back quietly. Nobody knew that I was already in Malacca. And then I go to my mother's.